Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. God only knows why. Welcome to it. We got we have international guests on this first segment.
Well, let me read his bio. Vegas Tenold is a Norwegian freelance writer who has covered everything from Haitian voodoo to hydraulic fracturing and Republican politics.
Haitian voodoo.
He has written extensively about the far right in the U.S. and is currently working on a book on the subject. Welcome, Vegas.
Thank you very much.
How's everything, brother?
It's great. Good to be in Jersey.
Good to see you, too. Last night I had Australian radio here. Now today it's Norwegian. And next week I'll be in Taiwan for 2 weeks. So I'm getting around here.
Could be.
I'm waiting with bated breath for an email from ANJRPC because it seems the governor threw us a few bones. I haven't gotten it yet, so as soon as it comes in, we'll discuss it. But what are you doing in New Jersey? What's the purpose, Vegas? Maybe you can.
Well, we swung by here a couple of weeks ago to try to talk with you about a gun story we're doing for Norwegian media, which is basically we're trying to figure out what the deal is with the gun debate here in this country. Being Norwegian, the gun issue isn't much of an issue in our country. And so we're trying to figure out what all this is about, the limits and the arguments.
Well,
it's all about knee-jerk reaction and grandstanding. I'll give you a perfect example of how New Jersey works. We have a law called one handgun a month law. I am 100% all for the one handgun a month law for my first handgun, okay? If I own 6 handguns in my possession, why do I have to wait 30 days to purchase my next one? If I'm angry and I want to kill someone, I have 6 to choose from already. So this was a law that was passed as a knee-jerk reaction, feel-good reaction.
What does
it do to lower crime in the state? Nothing.
Answer?
It does nothing.
Yeah.
All it does is throttle retailers on how much we can sell. But it does nothing. Listen, make me wait 30 days for my first gun, but then I shouldn't have to wait more than 5 minutes for my next one.
And I'll disagree with you about the 30-day wait.
I'm giving in a little bit here. I agree with you. F them. I'd rather not give an inch. But let's appeal to the other side and say, you know what? We're going to have a 30-day cool-down period. We're going to do a full background check and everything. Now Bobby's sitting here, got his gun. Now 6 days later, if Bobby wants to buy gun number two, how does 30
right.
days work?
Right.
And our legislators, you should have saw how proud they were when they passed this. Show me one area where this has lessened or lowered or prevented a crime. Zero. Meanwhile, we talk about it all the time. We have a catch-and-release revolving door criminal justice system where the criminals are slapped. I don't know how your prisons are, but our prisons, they can have halal food, they can have kosher food, they can have vegan food, they can have low-salt food, they have cable TV, they have air conditioning and everything.
They have cable TV with better channels than we get because
yes.
we'd have to pay $500 a month in our home in order to be able to get the kinds of channels that they get, including porn. Of course, not the level of porn that Anthony subscribes to. Tell him, Ant.
No.
That's great.
It was okay. One time.
It was right. It was one time. We're
now,
back.
Can you carry a gun in Norway?
I don't know. See, that's the thing.
Can we?
Because we don't think about this in Norway at all. I'm not going to speak for all of Norway, but as I see it, even after that massacre we had.
70-something people.
Yes, 68, 70.
Yes. He's taking you guys to court because he doesn't like his prison conditions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, but no one's paying
that's
attention
fun.
To that guy anymore.
I would just throat punch him, but go ahead.
Well, and I'll say just this, and at the risk of, and I know we're going to get a lot of hate mail, but look, wait until the caliphate makes its way to Norway, because we have opened our doors to a bizarre religious war where look at what's happening in Sweden. I have friends who are Swedish citizens, and in their own families there's battles back and forth about one family member teaches English teaches Swedish to non-Swedish speaking residents and is delighted that all of these immigrants are coming into Sweden, but they're not assimilating into the society. They're bringing with them their own culture, and as they are doing here in the U.S., but in their culture, rape is just fine.
Yes.
And in the Swedish culture, rape is not fine.
I don't necessarily believe that rape is fine in their culture. I think there's been a lot of hyperbole, and especially, you know, in the course of writing this book, I hear a lot of very right-wing arguments, and there's a lot of weird facts going around about how in Norway you can't walk the street without being, can I say gang-raped on this radio show?
No, sure, you can say anything you want.
And there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of hyperbole, and I'll admit that I think we have an integration problem. I don't necessarily believe we have an immigration problem, but then again, I'm a liberal Norwegian who believes the more the merrier on everything. But let me just ask about this gun debate you guys are having, because that's what I'm curious about, and that's why I'm here. Why do you think this is so entrenched? I mean, there seems to be very much two sides shouting at each other over a no man's land where no one can go.
It is political posturing, and I believe political posturing on both sides. Our core beliefs under the Second Amendment, as we believe it is what we say is there to protect the rest of the amendments. What would you say is a core argument with the Second Amendment? I think that from our standpoint,
we say it's a personal right.
Yeah.
And in our country, the liberals or the progressives say it's a military thing.
But that's only a new stance, though. That's only about 10 years old.
Correct.
Since you guys had
Correct.
That individual right or that interpretation.
Well, no, it's interpretation. Because
right, yeah.
If you go back to the framers and you understand the framers understood, the framers were not idiots. They were students of history, students of philosophy. That most of the U.S. was based on what was the best ideas, mostly from the Roman Republic. They were great students of Greece, ancient Greece, and ancient Rome. They believe that we were given inalienable rights, rights from the time mm-hmm. of our birth.
Mm-hmm.
One of those rights is the right to exist, the same way an animal has the right to protect themselves from harm, and that to be able to protect their young from harm from outside. It shouldn't be given as a right from the government. We'll come back with it. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric has Waldorf Family Chiropractic. If you or someone you know lives within a 30-mile radius of Waldorf Family Chiropractic, please check him out or send him a thank you for supporting us. Check out his book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. So, Scott Bach will be on the show next week so some people can eat some humble pie.
This is just breaking news.
I just got the press release, and it came out on Friday at 2:30 p.m. on April 8th, and you'll be hearing this on Gun for Hire Radio this Sunday morning. But Governor Christie acted on three things with the Attorney General and the State Police from the recommendations of Proposition 180. And I'm waiting for the press release from ANJRPC that describes it more in a little English, Vegas. But for now, this is what came out of the governor's office from Trenton. And it says that acting on Governor Christie's commitment to ensure fair and consistent application of state's gun laws that respect individuals' Second Amendment rights and protects public safety, the Office of the Attorney General announced a directive and guideline issued by Robert Lugie, who's the acting in English, a loogie's a booger, by the way, and a regulatory change to align the regulations governing the issuance of a carry permit with New Jersey Supreme Court. So some of the changes. There's a lot
it's
of verbiage here.
It's an appropriate name, isn't it?
Yeah, loogie. The first one, a regulatory change for a handgun carry permit to align and harmonize the definition of justifiable need with New Jersey Supreme Court standards. So, published in the New Jersey Register on March 7, 2006, the regulation adds serious threats to the circumstances that could demonstrate a special danger. So, Sandy, all the times I threaten to kill you, you can get a carry permit.
No,
now.
I can't, because what they're saying right now is you just got to go in and show them the bullet hole with the, you know, with the Curlex wrapped around it, and maybe some, you know, here's the injuries I just sustained, so now I can get a carry permit.
You heard me.
You really think they're relaxing this?
You heard me before, Vegas, that normally in New Jersey we issue carry permits posthumously. Yeah. After you're dead, the Supreme Court or Superior Court in New Jersey says, "Oh, you qualify
you
for
qualify
one now,
now
because
for
you,
one.
You can justify it because you're dead."
Because you're dead.
Okay.
Now you just have to be in critical condition.
Correct.
You know, in extremis, waiting to die.
Correct. So, it says, establishing more generalized fears and concerns that a private citizen may specify in a written certification of justifiable needs submitted with an application. The amendment also clarifies that the issuance of a permit to carry a handgun can be based on a special danger to the applicant's life that cannot be avoided by other reasonable means, rather than by any means as the regulation currently provides. Now, the press release that's going to be coming out by ANJRPC has input from Scott Bach, Dan Schmutter, and Evan Knappen in it. I don't have it yet. Scott just texted me. They're adding hyperlinks for more information. That's why we don't have it yet. Maybe after the next break I will. The next one, this is going to put my cafe, the Pork Roll Canteen, out of business.
Right now out of business.
A guideline on the reasonably necessary deviations in the course of travel exception for transporting firearms in New Jersey.
All right, wait, let's hold this off and explain to Vegas why we're getting excited about this.
This is how New Jersey works with handguns, Vegas. I can go from my house to the range, my range to the house, with no unnecessary deviations.
Meaning we can't stop to pee, can't have a heart attack, can't stop for a burger, can't stop to pick up your kid, can't stop to pick up your buddy.
Can't get my nails done.
Can't get your nails done anymore. Can't pick up your buddy or drop them off on your way to shooting. Otherwise, you were subject to 10 years in state's penitentiary.
See, this is surprising to me because I think being a Norwegian, we always assume that in America they'll just throw a gun after you and you can do whatever you want. But this seems slightly strict.
Slightly strict? I'm going to give you an example of how we are law-abiding criminals. Law-abiding criminals. So if I'm taking a diuretic for high blood pressure, I stop to pee at a 7-Eleven and my car gets robbed, they're going to charge me with unnecessary deviation if I had handguns in the trunk, right? Now, I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to get charged. I have to hire a lawyer. While I'm being charged with a crime, if I have a job like own a gun store or I'm a dentist, I won't be able to work because I'm being charged with a felony.
And they enforce these laws as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So now we have to worry about a superior court judge to decide if my stop was a necessary or unnecessary deviation. All of the pro-gun Superior Court judges in New Jersey can fit in a Mini Cooper with room for two more passengers. Okay? So now I'm looking at 3 to 5 years for that unnecessary deviation. Now, as a law-abiding criminal, I have nothing to plea. Okay? So I'm dead. Now, Bobby, sitting in the studio, listen, Sandy's cousin, he is a shitbag, and he carjacks someone at gunpoint. Now, in New Jersey, with a gun under the Graves Act, he should be doing 7 years in prison, committing a violent crime while possession of illegal handgun. He goes to county lockup for 18 months. He can't make bail. He's awaiting trial. 2 weeks before the trial, the prosecutor and defense attorney come up with a deal. We'll drop the gun charge. We'll charge him with battery or simple assault and give him time served. So he did 12 to 14 months in prison.
Meanwhile, he goes to jail for 5 years.
I go to jail for 3 to 5 years for stopping to pee, and my guns were stolen from my car. That's how the law works in New Jersey.
And how is the public served in that?
Yeah, what's the argument? Play devil's advocate for me. What's the argument?
We don't know. We don't know. They think it's great because when Governor Christie's had to pardon 5 or 6 people since he's been governor for similar circumstances.
Wait, since he's been governor and running for president of the United States. During his presidential campaign, all of a sudden the anti-gun Governor Christie, who is appointed 3 or 4 now of the most vehemently anti-gun attorneys general.
So he can blame them.
Yes.
Oh, it's not me. It's my attorney general.
Yes, of who you appointed. Is now leaning backward to pardon the people who are victims of these egregious laws that do nothing to protect the citizenry, but harm law-abiding citizens. Every gun owner listening to this has been background checked, fingerprinted, proven.
Cavity searched. That was voluntary.
That was very good. Okay, yes, it's true. You keep submitting for that, and I keep telling you, it's not necessary.
He buys me a drink.
Well, then that's a different story. We are to prove that we are the good guys and good gals. Meanwhile, 5 miles from here, in a very heavily crime-ridden area, you could, for $50, go buy an illegal gun and commit a crime. And nothing is going to happen because it's, you know, look the other way. The politics in this state outweigh common sense.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it's all about getting votes and keeping our positions of power.
And we're going to get back to the governor when we come back from Vegas. You look like you're in shock. For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have 3 times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have 2 smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with 1 or 2 kids and they'll do a handoff.
To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com, which will soon be Liberty Executive Suites, LibertyOffice.com. Liberty, Ron Sousa's dog, says woof woof to Winston. Support those who support us. Ron Sousa has 38 private meeting rooms. He also has a conference room that can hold 70 people, AV, and the whole bit for as little as $58 a month. Vegas, a guy like you can have a professional presence by having like a timeshare office thing rather than working out of the local coffee shop and looking like a loser. You don't want to have that. Every day I go to Starbucks after the gym, there's all these people with the laptops interviewing people and shit. I'm like, really?
Yeah, like, dude,
really?
Get a room.
One of the guys was asking the questions. He was interviewing a pretty girl on his laptop, and he had a pocket protector and everything. And he said to the girl, he's like, do you have any allergies to latex products or duct tape? So I don't know where that was going. Just made that up. So anyway, here's the problem. We get pissed off because the shitbags have stuff to plea down, and the criminal justice system is so backed up that the prosecutors are willing to cut a deal. So that's why we have a revolving door criminal justice system, catch and release. But when a law-abiding citizen like us gets caught, we don't have anything to plea down.
Because we're low-hanging fruit.
Correct.
In the words of a prosecutor who we know, we are low-hanging fruit. We're an easy conviction. Boom, boom. And all it matters is the statistics. So now the prosecutor's office can go ahead and say, we've taken another violent criminal, a gun crime. A gun crime now politically is the highest reward. It's a little wonderful little badge that they get to move up in their career. And in their eyes, a gun crime, putting Anthony in that particular situation, putting Anthony in jail for stopping to pee on his way home from the range, is considered a gun crime because it is an illegal charge. It is a felony gun crime.
It really
happens.
It sounds patently absurd.
Happens all the time. It absolutely is patently absurd, which is why we get so fevered about it.
Now, when we get anti-gun or non-gun people and we explain these situations, they're like, that doesn't make sense.
That can't happen.
That doesn't really happen here. Meanwhile, the preeminent attorney in New Jersey, Evan Knappen, has people every day walking to his office going, I can't believe this happened to me. And that's just one of many, many different things.
And they're
things.
Losing their homes. They're losing their livelihoods being prosecuted. A perfect example in New Jersey. How about this scenario, Ant? Somebody breaks into your house. All right? Somebody breaks into your house. A violent felon, group of people break into your home in the middle of the night. You have a handgun licensed to you. One of those felons shoots you, beats you, clubs you over the head. You're vaguely conscious. You take your firearm, your handgun that's licensed to you, you toss it across the room to your wife, and you say, honey, shoot the bastard before he kills me. She touches that handgun. Both of you go to jail.
She just committed a felony. It's an unlawful transfer.
And?
But if she's over 18... Now, if someone in your house is under 18, they're not eligible to get a firearms ID card, it would be okay to hand it to your 9-year-old daughter to shoot the bad guy in New Jersey. That would be legal. That would
be fine. And under this situation, if...
You see his face?
Yeah, I know. And under this situation, if these shitbags who broke into your house in the middle of the night, who beat you up and robbed you and want to harm you and your family and rape your wife and harm your children, They go to jail for less time than you do because that felony carries a gun charge. The gun charge in New Jersey falls under the Graves Act. The Graves Act states minimum mandatory prison time in state's penitentiary. No judge can change that. Only a governor can pardon you. And that's exactly what has happened six or seven times. Just, and prior to Christie running for president, this shit was going unpardoned. There are people in prison now for these same crimes.
But let's agree that these rules sound slightly absurd.
slightly
absurd. But, I mean, are there no sensible gun control measures that can be taken? I mean, we hear a lot about expanded background checks, mental health checks, expanded ammo clips. I mean, is every gun control measure absurd, or should we be talking about something sensibly?
Well, Vegas, I can beat you to death. I'm a golfer, okay?
Let's we should just be say, focusing which on I'm the not, criminals.
Okay? I can beat you to death with a 9-iron. Why should it be illegal for me to have five... How many golf clubs? Anybody here golf? Bobby, you golf. How many clubs in a bag? All right? Should I be able to limit his ability to buy? If he can beat me to death with a 9-iron, he can beat me to death with a 4-iron if there is such
a thing. Well,
that's
a bit, that argument's a bit silly, isn't it?
Is it?
I mean, because a 9-iron isn't really made for anything but golfing. I mean, yeah, I could probably kill you with a number of
things. You're going to hit me with the argument that a firearm, the only purpose of a firearm is to kill people.
Sure, yeah, okay, I'll try that.
Okay, Anthony? The only purpose of a firearm is to kill people.
No.
Okay.
Sporting, hunting, self-defense,
right.
Collecting, constitutional right, no different than fishing lures, in my opinion.
Okay.
Or people that collect knives.
All right. Now, why do we feel so, why are we so passionate about this? We're passionate about this because the first way to control a population is to remove their ability to protect themselves.
Let me talk about that for a second, because as we've been talking to people, I feel like the issue has gone through some changes. I mean, it used to be about sportsmanship, marksmanship.
Never was about sportsmanship and marksmanship. Never. That has been always the liberal press's slant on this subject. It has always been about the right to self-defense and self-preservation. It is the Second Amendment wasn't our right to protect our right to shoot at targets or to protect our right to hunt and fish. Has absolutely nothing to do with it.
But we talked very little about the Second Amendment up until the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s.
Correct.
But now it seems like a lot of people are talking about standing up to tyranny.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, yes, but... The 1968, and there's rumor that what's going to happen this summer, because there are groups like George Soros is funding groups right now to create what was called the summer or the spring, another spring movement with Occupy Wall Street, the Muslim Brotherhood. They're running training camps to create civil unrest like in the 1960s. 1968 is when it all changed.
Who's telling you this?
Well, I'll give you the sources.
Okay.
But the right now, going back to 1968 is when it all changed. Prior to 1968, when Anthony and I were kids, Bobby, you can attest to this, you could buy a gun in a Sears Roebuck catalog.
Or Kmart.
Or Kmart. Anywhere.
Stearns Department Store.
Okay.
Yet, never heard of it.
Yet, there were not mass shootings in schools. There were no mass shootings, period.
Violent movies, video games. It's funny how the Hollywood glitterati glamorize gunplay and unsafe stuff, and then they're all anti-gun. You know, it's just
amazing. I think that's a pretty bizarre contradiction.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll agree to that.
And what we're saying is why all we want to do is pose the question. Prior to 1968, you could get a gun mailed to you in the mail, yet no one was shooting anyone with great regularity. And there weren't these mass shootings that were taking place. What has changed in our society? Let's address real problems and real causes instead of going after an inanimate object. The term, the way the media skews most of the terms with guns, and like we said off the air, I am not a gun guy. I am not a Second Amendment zealot.
Yeah.
Prior to this, my cousin will attest to this. He was the guy who taught me how to go hunting. Prior to this, I had absolutely nothing to do with this. Until I met Anthony, and I started getting riled up.
I ruined his life.
But why do people get so riled up? Why do the anti-gun get so riled up in the pro-gun? Why?
Because of the lies. The lies and the distortion and the political bullshit that goes on all the time surrounding guns. And
from both sides.
On both sides. On both sides. Absolutely on both sides. Because you've got one side that doesn't want to yield, the other side that doesn't want to yield, and they're both using each other as the boogeyman for their cause to either further their political career or to raise money.
But
on
you
want to
know something?
Side.
It's just like the abortion issue. There's no middle ground. Like, I'm always promoting safety and education, because what happens is the anti-gunners want to take all our guns and the pro-gunners will not give in an inch. You're not taking any of my guns. So while they fight, accidental crimes continue to go up, suicides continue to go up, and no one focuses on our criminals in the catch and release revolving door system we have. So it just gets worse and worse. So it's just me and you spitting at each other. I'm keeping my guns, you're taking my guns. I'm keeping your guns, and nothing gets done.
And there seems to be a very large silent majority. Like, a lot of gun owners aren't vehemently pro-gun.
Correct.
And most people I meet in the streets of Brooklyn don't go around raging and ranting about guns. Like, it's
correct. And it is a fringe element, and it is all done for political posturing or for money. Follow the money is always the case. Just follow the money, and you'll see who's got most at stake. When you've got billionaires like George Soros and Michael Bloomberg funding these anti-gun movements, I'm saying let's look at the punish the criminal. The gun left on its own, you could take a gun from his rental area, put it in the middle of the road, leave it there for 100 friggin' years. It's not going to commit a crime.
Yeah.
All by itself. It takes the act of a human being. Now, whether they use a golf club or a firearm to commit that crime, it doesn't matter. If you're shot or maimed or killed, do you really give a shit how you got shot or raped or?
But, I mean, in fairness, Dylann Roof or the guy in Norway didn't bring a golf club, did he?
No. No,
he could kill a whole lot more.
But he could have used a bomb and killed even more. Take the gun away, he'll use the bomb. Everything I do gonna be funky
from now. Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
Brought to you by Philly Gun Training, phillyguntraining.com. Jose Morales is located where?
On Spring Garden Street in Philadelphia, directly across the way from the police department's firearms unit.
Yes. So go check out Jose. Tell him we said hi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's the man.
All right. Before we continue on with our screaming, yelling match.
Well, I want NewJerseySafeCon.net this year is on, July 30th or something?
Yep.
NJSafeCon.net. I also want to say that Tony Simon had his diversity shoot here last night, and he had about 55 students show up of every size, shape, and color. He had a ton of instructors, and they all seemed to have a great time. I even gave out a few poker chips. Tony Parise got his poker chip, so F you, Tony Parise, now that you got your poker chip. So let's talk now about a guideline on the reasonable necessary deviations. Currently, the law allows a limited degree of deviation in the course of travel when an individual is lawfully transporting a firearm. See, Vegas, lawfully transporting. If you're unlawfully transporting a firearm, they could give a shit. It's only us, right? People may transport a firearm that is unloaded and properly stored, blah, blah, blah. The study commission found a lack of clarity in the statute that creates a risk of disparate and inconsistent application by law enforcement. The AG is providing guidance through this directive to law enforcement and prosecutors to ensure the law is administered uniformly through the state. The directive sets forth a balanced approach for law enforcement and prosecutors to employ. While not an exclusive list, some examples of stops are detours in the course of travel to or between locations that would qualify as reasonably necessary include collecting and discharging passengers, purchasing fuel, food and beverages, medicine, or other needed supplies, including using a restroom. I can pee now.
Oh,
okay?
Finally. Now
thank you,
pee.
Governor, for allowing me to pee, Mazza.
I just can't stop and pick up a fried chicken dinner on the way home.
Contending with an emergency situation or driving around a traffic jam. Nice, okay? Especially when the governor is on his way to KFC or something.
Or something like
and
that.
And the state police block off the intersection.
Are you saying that he's fat? Is that a fat joke?
He's big boned. So that's number two. Number three, a directive for uniform statewide practices and procedures for issuing firearms purchase ID cards, handgun purchase permits, and permits to purchase to carry handguns. This is Operation Strike Force now. That's why Scott Bach is going to be on next week. We're going to do two shows before I go to Taiwan. Maybe we'll have Schmutter on. We'll see if we can get Knapp and whoever. But the study commission report noted complaints by firearm permit applications. No shit. The law says 30 days. There's police
Six
cars that go
a year.
All right.
Yeah.
Before they'll give you your permit. And a right delayed is a right denied. Okay. So it's going to increase transparency in the permitting process. The directive requires licensing authorities, listen to this, to submit annually data on the number of ID cards and handgun permit applications filed and processed per month over the year and the length of time it took to process those applications. These statistics will be posted annually on the Division of State Police website. So you're going to have egg on your face if you're breaking the law. You're not going to get away. The directive also envisions a more efficient and consistent application process, requiring the state police within 9 months to develop and disseminate to licensing authorities standard protocols promoting best practices for reviewing, investigating, and acting on applications for firearms purchase ID cards, permits, and handgun permits. Finally, the AG will consider how new technology might streamline the process. Yeah, it's called the NICS check.
Yeah, we already
the
have
National
it.
The National Instant
Federal
Background Check.
Okay, so let's explain to Vegas. What happens here in New Jersey, because New Jersey is a separate country from the rest of the United States, you have to go through background investigations, get two people to sign off. Oh, this is a nice person. He should be able to buy
any
a
nice,
gun.
Any two people?
Two people of good repute. When you're dealing in New Jersey, that is a questionable comparison. But you go through background checks, you go through a mental health check, you go through all this other stuff to make sure you haven't been convicted of a crime, you're issued a permit, you go to buy the firearm, and that takes 30 days or better. 30 days is the law, but the standard practice is 60.
You're not getting a gun today?
Oh, no.
But what if you're angry now?
But if you're angry now, you have to hold.
That's the Simpsons.
This is important. You have to hold your anger. And you have to write down and remind yourself of why you're angry and try to keep the anger up so then when you do get the gun, you can go and commit the crime. So once this is done and you get your firearms permit, you go to the gun store. You pick out the gun store gun that was on sale last month, but you couldn't have bought it because it was on sale then, and now you have to pay full price for it. And you're able to not buy the gun yet. No. They're going to run an instant check with a national system that in 30 seconds, says, yeah, okay, he hasn't committed a crime. He doesn't have any mental health background, blah, 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 blah. So why, you ask, does the state of New Jersey have this redundancy of checking you out before you get checked out? It's got to do with money. Follow the money.
Correct.
It's all about the permitting process and some bureaucrats who and how many, 72, I read in statistics, what was it, 72,000, was it firearms ID cards, 72,000 were issued in the past years.
Yes, 75,000. Like
okay, multiply that times $75 an hour for a state trooper who should be out fighting crime to do your paperwork processing and stamping and moving papers from one place to another.
We pay, when we buy guns and accessories, we pay a federal tax that goes to support the National Instant Background System, which is open 7 days a week, including holidays. Every other state you go to, you want to buy a gun, Bobby walks into Cabela's, they run a NICS check.
That's the gun show as well, right? They do the NICS check.
That's the gun show as well. Now, in New Jersey, we pay state trooper that we call, and then they call and do the NICS checks on us, which they charge us $15, which is unconstitutional and illegal because we have a federal amendment that says it's included when you purchase guns and stuff. So we get double taxed on it, and it's only open 6 days a week, and the hours are truncated compared to the federal. That's how New Jersey works. We have an intermediary who's a state trooper, like Sandy says, that's making $7,500, $150,000 a year. So in New Jersey, we call it the not-so-instant background check because many times we'll call and it'll take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, 2 days to get an approval where it's supposed to be an instant background check.
But you guys are pretty happy with the instant background check, right?
Is that fair?
I don't have a problem
absolutely
with that.
Yeah. You don't want, nobody wants bad guys to have guns.
Yeah.
Okay? But...
but it shouldn't be a not-so-instant background
check. Yes, and, sure, and it shouldn't be some arbitrary person deciding who is a bad guy. And we're borderline now looking at thought police. Who might commit a crime? What the hell do I know who might commit a crime? Most crimes are committed by career criminals. If you take a look at the number of guns that have been sold, especially in the past, well, what would you say since Obama's been in office, right? You're the best gun salesman in the world.
A couple million guns a year because of
frenzy, which it's ludicrous. I wish I would have bought gun stock.
Do you guys believe, as many do, that Obama wants to take your guns?
Absolutely.
Does he want to disarm the country?
Yes.
Of course.
Why?
Because he's a socialist.
He's going to be emperor because he's going to be the next UN Secretary General. I predicted that 3 years ago. His term ends just as they're going to start electing a new one, and he's got the funny name. Like
he's never
going to
want that job. That's an awful job. Why would you want to be
you?
So he's president of the United States. Who the hell would want that job?
But yeah, because I've heard so much about this tyranny argument that it's
okay.
I used to hear a lot about the self-defense argument, which was fine. But then people start talking to me about you gotta protect yourself from the government, which to me as a social democrat Norwegian. We're getting into the cuckoo reads a little bit, is how I feel about that.
Right. But right. Where it's not because stop and take a look at another kind of social democrat, all right? He was a guy nobody really took serious.
Please don't say Hitler.
I'm going to say Hitler because he was a guy nobody really took serious.
How deep was the snow in Munich in 1938?
This yeah. Guy. But anyway. You came off of civil unrest. You came off of economic total devastation under the Weimar Republic, right?
Yeah.
Hitler never came to power at the barrel of a gun. He was fully elected to do that. The first thing he did was promise nothing is going to change. The same thing as Lenin and Stalin. The reason that the term democratic socialist, do you know who coined the term democratic socialist, the name democratic? We have a candidate running right now, Bernie Sanders, who's running under the term democratic socialist. I'm a democratic socialist, he says. Lenin was the one who coined that term. And he did it in the Soviet Union because they were afraid of communism. And he said, no, I'm not. We have nothing to do with communism. I am a democratic socialist. You will elect me and socialism will reign. Well, the problem with socialism, as Margaret Thatcher said, is great until you run out of other people's money. You can only tax a society so much. The only way to control how much you continue to overpower them is to completely control them. You control them with healthcare. You control them with food. You control them with powers. A lot of the argument you'll see from outside of the country, and Italians included, are, well, you're not going to be able to protect yourself against the government. Government has tanks and bombs and all this other stuff. Okay. Yeah. Good point. But a bunch of farmers, 1% of the population, back when this country was formed, a bunch of farmers, ragtag individuals, beat the largest, most powerful army on the face of the earth. And they did it because they believed that they had the right to do that. When you remove a person's right to protect themselves against foe domestic or governmental, the government doesn't have rights. The government has powers, and they will exercise those powers over its populace. Has been since time immemorial. It is always going, it's never going to change.
Is that the most important issue when it comes to gun rights? Is that the fundamental thing we're talking about?
For me, personally, yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Absolutely. Yeah, for me.
Real quick, Manchester, Connecticut, two people arrested for having a fistfight over crab legs at a royal buffet. Someday we're going to have some safety tips on when you go to a buffet, how to protect your flank and everything, and proper way to carry a fork defensively. It just got my funny bone fighting over crab legs. One guy got a broken tooth and everything.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
And this segment is brought to you, New Jersey Safe Conference, njsafe.net. 2016 will be held July 30th at the Hilton in Parsippany. July 29th, there will be a lawyer seminar that Evan Knappen and a few other attorneys, and you're going to get, what are the credits called? CLE credits. So, and Ron Sousa is supplying his venue again for free so that people can get the CLE credits on a Friday.
Ron's a great
Saturday
guy.
Will be the safecon.net. Afterwards, we're probably going to go to either Ruth Chris or Arthur Steakhouse, and then we're going to go to JR and smoke cigars. So do not forget that. Also, remember, remember that the Girl Scouts are going to be here 2 weekends in a row. I'm not going to be here, unfortunately. I'm going to be in Taiwan. 417, one troop from 10 to 2. 424, another troop from 10 to 2. Come down and show your support. I bought 50 boxes of cookies for each event, and they're being shipped to the troops overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. So do what you can to support those who support us. They're going to be in the front lobby. Also, you know, I used the word husky for clothes and stuff, and I got one from William. He wrote, "You hit the nail on the head about husky selection of clothes." I also hated the Sears Roebuck dungaree. They were for husky kids. Keep up the great show, William. When I was a kid, I was fat Vegas, and they had the husky department. My mother took me in that. Husky was the fat boy or portly department. I don't know what word you guys use in Norway.
Would they call you portly as a kid?
No, husky.
Husky.
Husky. All the good-looking clothes were on the left, and one corner was the husky
department.
Did they
look different other than being bigger?
Of course. Yeah, or either that or you had to get a pair of man's pants, and they got hemmed at the knees, basically, so the pockets were sitting, you know, they weren't proportioned. proportional. So your mom took you to the Husky department.
That must have been
fun. I
hate
it. They don't
school.
Use the word Husky anymore.
No more.
No, because in our country, everybody's fat.
Now
so.
It's big and tall. Yeah.
They use American, I guess.
What? You just grew out of those clothes.
I grew out of those clothes. Another thing I want to talk about is NJ2AS 3 years ago sued the state police, Vegas. The state police has a manual on what they do to check, do your background check and the permitting process. Every police department gets that manual. The NJ2AS, under the Open Public Records Act, an OPRA request, asked for that. They said no because of client-attorney privilege.
Yeah,
we're the clients.
Yeah,
we're the taxpaying citizens.
Yeah, right.
They said no. They refused it. We won. And we won legal fees. So Alexander Rubian, Bob Barish, and Frank Fiammingo, the original president of NJ2AS, they just got a check from the state of New Jersey, $116,000, that us taxpayers paid to get our own information. The state police submitted to us the permit manual. It's like 80% redacted. We can't read anything.
They ran out of black magic
Correct.
Markers. You know?
So now...
But some of the shit that they said that they couldn't share because it was under confidentiality, they have published on their website.
Yes.
But they redacted it from the paper.
It from the paper, but it's on their website, the state police.
Wow.
Now we're taking them back to court because we want a non-redacted version
And we're supposed to allow that same government to tell us what our rights should and shouldn't be, to whether we should protect ourselves or not be able to protect ourselves, or whether we should be able to buy a golf club or not.
Let me ask you guys a question, and your listeners. And why does your right to carry a weapon trump my right to not be around weapons?
It's an individual right. I'm not infringing on your right.
I'm not forcing you to buy a weapon.
I don't believe in seatbelt laws. I don't get in a car without a seatbelt.
Right.
I won't drink and drive, and I know people push that limit all the time. I don't believe in helmet law on a motorcycle, but I wear a helmet because I'm smart enough to do it. I don't believe the government should step in and tell me
and
shit.
Tell me, right.
As a libertarian, leave me alone. What you do in the privacy of your home is your business. What I do in my home is my business. As long as it does involve kids and animals, especially dogs, then I'll get medieval on you.
Yeah, then I'll come after you.
Yeah.
But leave me alone. Like religion, I don't care what God people pray to. Just don't try to sell your religion to me.
But if I go to one of these universities in Texas who are considering having open carry even on campus, I'm faced with a weapon at all times now. And so
no, you're not. Do I brandish the weapon and I hold it to your head all the time?
Well, no. if it makes me uncomfortable, though, that you have it.
Why would it have it?
I don't know.
Are you uncomfortable? There are people in this room right now who are armed. Are you uncomfortable? Did you know it since I didn't even tell you?
No.
Okay.
But
so
okay.
How were your rights then upset? They weren't. However, a madman comes in this building with a gun, you're going to be looking around for a good guy with a gun, aren't you?
Real quick. I don't know if you're a madman or a good guy. I just know you're armed now. I wasn't uncomfortable, but now
you weren't uncomfortable. Now
I'm going to tell you something right now. I've gone on record saying this. I'm not an advocate of open carry.
Right.
Nor
I think
am I.
Open carry, you lose your defensive edge with open carry,
and it is threatening for a person who doesn't.
If I see you with an open carry gun, I'll wait outside the restaurant, hit you in the head with a lead pipe, and steal your gun.
Right.
Okay.
If your gun is concealed, I might try to rob you at knife point, and then gun trumps knife in most cases, especially if you're properly trained.
It's like a rock paper. Do you do rock paper scissors and rock paper gun?
Yeah.
Rock paper gun
trumps knife. So yeah. I'm more of the element of surprise, and it also keeps the gun phobes calm by not seeing guns hang out. I think the only time a gun should be out is like when a cop carries it either off duty with the badge on his belt or when he's in a uniform.
Yeah.
I think when you're not in a uniform, the gun should be concealed. It's better defensively.
Absolutely.
And it's better for the anti-gunners for me. Keep them calm. Listen, Florida, Texas, 44 states allow concealed carry. You don't read in the paper of the carnage of permit holders having drive-by shootings or road rages. You just don't hear about it. Every time I go to Florida, I carry a gun. And everybody carries a gun, and you don't hear any crazy shit going on. My brother lives in Texas. I go to Houston to visit him. He carries a gun. The guy that lives upstairs from him carries a gun. They all carry guns.
So how do we solve the gun problem in America? Let's say we have a gun problem, legal, illegal guns.
Stop using those terms. We do not have a gun problem. We have a crime problem. And crime has been going down and down and down and down while gun sales have been going up and up and up and up. So obviously we don't have a gun problem. again, I approach this from the First Amendment. I approach this from being truthful about things, from not distorting media. And media now distorts because there's you're a journalist.
I do
okay?
it all the time.
Okay. If it bleeds, it leads. Okay? Because yeah. that's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about that the shit that we write gets actually past our editor or gets read. Right? So nobody's going to say, a great headline would be, nothing happened today in the city of New York. There was no crime at all. Everything was just wonderful. Who the hell would read that? People look because of our nature. We're looking for the negativity. Well, there are people who are ready, willing, and able to exploit that. And journalism in the U.S. has gone to hell. There are people who make their livelihood manipulating media. Government has been lying to people forever under good conscience. What I am railing against is the term gunman. Guy goes in with a machete, chops somebody up. They don't call him the machete man. A terrorist walks into a crowded nightclub and blows himself up. They don't call him the bomb man. But a lunatic walks into a nightclub and starts shooting people. All of a sudden, he's the gun man. Do we want to get to the real problem, or do we want to continue to demonize a friggin' mechanical object that has absolutely no harm whatsoever built into it?
We will, when Vegas is done with his book, his article, whatever he's doing, we will pitch it out there for everybody so you guys can see if he did a good job.
And we're willing to come to Norway.
He shot here before, and I have all his personal information and home address, so if we don't like how it went, we're gonna fly a bunch of us
people
over
with
to
guns
Norway.
And shit to
no,
go
no,
to
no,
Norway.
You just
we're
have
just
to go to Brooklyn.
Gonna,
yeah,
Brooklyn. We're just gonna go harass them.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
all.
Hey, Brooklyn,
can
Norway.
Can I ask your listeners
thing.
To sort of get at me at on Twitter or something
yes, please.
To give me their opinions
how
on this?
How can we get you? Tell us. Tell
just
us.
Just find me at Vegas Tenold. That's VEGASTENOLD at Twitter, and I'd love to hear about what's going on with the gun issue. Can I call it a gun issue? Is that okay?
Yeah,
sure.
That's
fine.
Sure.
You know, I'll let you because you're Norwegian.
Yeah. Threats, love letters, whatever you guys want to make. Just
love it. Thanks for being on the show. Don't
Thank
forget
you.
The Girl Scouts are here the 17th and the 24th, but I'm not. Evan Knappen is here May 13th. Holster Draw April 12th. Urban Shotgun Herbal April 18th. CPR April 24th. Urban Carbine and Urban Pistol April 24th. The RSO class for SAW is April 10th, and their port meetup is April 11th. Have a nice day. I'll see you when I get back from Taiwan. Next week, we're going to try to get Bach, Schmutter, Knappen, and anybody else in on the show. Be well. Thanks, Scott, for your efforts.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and the License to Broadcast Music, Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Norwegian journalist Vegas Tenhold, and his entire posse, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Please, guys, be safe. Be free. Winston. We love you guys. See you next week.